We have been looking on Sunday night at the Pauline epistles, and we're going to jump to the last one tonight, which would be Hebrews. Paul is the writer of Hebrews. There's been some speculation about that, but we're going to finish this study with the Epistle of the Hebrews. Many of the letters by Paul to the churches and to the various individuals contain some of the same material, but the letter to the Hebrews is very different in that it contains some unique information, and it's one of my favorite books. It's actually a very good book. It's a book that helps, can be of great help to us. Now, we will not cover all of the letter, but we will cover portions of it at different times as the nights go by. There's some sections that need further exposure, and chapter one is one of those passages. You see, not a lot of people, if you've read the Bible through, not a lot of people have written very much about angels. We actually don't know a whole lot about angels, but we're going to look at them because Paul is going to write about them tonight. Paul starts by establishing God's chain of command. In the book of Hebrews, he puts God first, Jesus Christ next, and the last person of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit of God. In this chapter, first chapter of Hebrews, Paul talks more about angels than anywhere in the Bible. So this might be a good place to spend some time studying about angels. Our first contact with an angel is the angel of the Lord, when he interceded with Hagar, Sarah's handmaid, who she gave to Abraham to father a child because she could not have any children. And we find the account in Genesis chapter 16. Genesis 16, 3 through 11. And Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave to her husband Abraham to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon thee. Remember that, fellas, the ladies are going to blame us no matter whose fault it is. Okay. Thy wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said to Sarai, behold, thy handmaid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord, that will be a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. We don't learn a whole lot from this account, except that even the angel of the Lord was a messenger for God. He carried a message to Hagar. And when an angel brings a message, it's always for the purpose of obtaining God's will. When an angel gives instruction, it is best followed. We are told here that there are millions of angels in heaven. Hagar followed the angel of the Lord's instruction. The result was that Hagar gave birth to Abraham's son Ishmael. Once again, Sarah caused Hagar to run away. And this time, it was not the angel of the Lord that carried the message. It was just a common, everyday angel from heaven that delivered the message to Hagar, and Ishmael became a great nation. The next time that an angel is involved with Abraham is when he was told to sacrifice his son Isaac. He goes through with it. It was again the angel of the Lord that stopped him. Do you realize how many angels that God has used to move the family of God's chosen people to the places where he wanted them? An angel spoke to Jacob to instruct him to get away from Laban. An angel instructed Laban not to touch Jacob. God has used angels over and over and over. God used an angel to guide his chosen family after they'd gone into slavery in Egypt. We see an angel used to recruit Moses to lead them out. Let's look at that incident, Exodus 3, 2 through 10. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of a midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not being burnt. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them, to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth the people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Over and over and over, we see the Lord Jesus Christ, even through the Old Testament, the angel, his angel. Now, whether that is him personally, I don't know. I believe that it is. I believe it's not a special angel he has assigned to him. I believe it's him in person. And he is just showing a pre-incarnate manifestation. I'm surprised by how many angels God used through the Old Testament to communicate with the people that he needed. It was not until Exodus 33:2 that God stopped using angels for communication and began using them for physical activity within the various nations. In Exodus 33:2, it says, And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. God's chosen people kept God's angels pretty busy, keeping them out of trouble. And there's one more that we need to look at. It's in Numbers 22. Numbers 22 through 33. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord. This is a story we all know about. We've read it over. You've probably read it many times. But it's interesting the power that this angel has. And the God's anger was kindled because he went, and the anger of the Lord and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, as a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done to thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said to Balaam, Am I not an ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was in thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, Nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because the way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from thee these three times. Unless she had turned from thee, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. How would you respond if your pet dog at home said, I'm hungry? I thought it was so interesting that Balaam talked with his donkey and did not find any surprise there. We see the angel of the Lord in the book of Judges speaking and directing Gideon. We see the angel of the Lord throughout the book of Judges guiding the nation Israel. God used angels to deliver Israel by destroying their enemies. All of these angels were under the direction of the Lord. A good example of this would be in 1 Chronicles 21:27. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. This would have been during the time of King David. Angels have been used by God to deal with mankind throughout the Old Testament. When we come to the book of Daniel, it was an angel that stopped the mouths of the lions. Daniel 6:22 tells us, My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. I have a question. How many of you suspect you may have had an angel in your life? I see one hand. Any more? Okay. God is using angels. Folks, he has used them. He didn't create them to be ornaments in heaven. He created them to be his messengers and his servants. And I believe that you and I might be surprised at how many angels we have had in our life. Some of them have been used to bring a message to us. Some of them have been used to spare our lives. But they have interceded. They have intervened. They have controlled the situation because they are higher than we are. They have much more strength. We have studied the book of Zechariah. In fact, we just finished it on Wednesday nights. The book of Zechariah talks about the involvement of angels 20 times in that minor prophet, Zechariah. Let me give you an example, Zechariah 6, 4, and 5. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" And the angel answered and said unto me, "These are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth." That was just the Old Testament. Now let's move on into the New Testament, because angels are mentioned there frequently. Also, there are 99 times where it talks about angels in the New Testament. Many more, 200 and some in the Old. The first mention of angels, time-wise, is when God sent an angel to Elizabeth to tell her that she would have a baby, that she would be the mother of John, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. That was Gabriel. And he was the same angel who spoke to Mary about the baby Jesus. Now, where have we met Gabriel before? He was the one who interpreted for Daniel. And when Daniel had his dreams, the angel Gabriel was sent. If we take scripture chronologically, the first mention is God sent an angel to Joseph, telling him that Mary, his betrothed wife, was okay, that it would be all right for him to take her as his wife, that the baby was the result of the work of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing the way that God uses angels that were created by Jesus at the time of the creation. We don't have angels before that. What does the scripture tell us? It tells us that Jesus created all things. All things. And he has. So let's just stop right there for a minute and meditate upon the scriptures concerning angels. Think about the fact that the book of Revelation numbers angels in the millions. Why did God need so many? He didn't need them to praise him. He already has many doing that. He needed them to carry the messages and to do the work that angels do in our lives. You might ask, what kind of work? Well, think about when Jesus was tempted at the beginning of his ministry by the devil. Afterward, he entertained angels which ministered to him. Matthew 4:11 says, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Angels have played such a large part in God's relationship with men. If we just look at scripture, we will see angels ministering to different people. Let's think about it. There were angels at the birth of Jesus who told the shepherds where to find Jesus. An angel stirred the pool at Bethesda to heal people. John 5:4, "For an angel went down at a certain season to the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole, that whosoever, whatsoever disease he had." God is using angels, folks. We have them around us. Angels have rescued people from prison. Acts 5, 17 through 20. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is a sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." Think of what angels might be doing for you. Think of the way they might be ministering for you. Angels have directed people about where to go and what to do. Acts 8, 26 and 20 through 29. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go and join thyself to his chariot." An angel called Philip, but God's Spirit spoke to Philip when he got to the place the angel said to go. God is using angels even today. I know in my life, I believe there was a time when he used an angel, maybe more than one, at different times. Those of you who have felt an angel has spoken to you, or an angel has, you have seen an angel, can any of you share that? Okay. Anyone else want to share? Okay, Diane. Hope. Come on. Anyone else? Yes. You know, they don't use any money in heaven. There is one thing I would like to note. Normally, we do not need an angel. Normally, God gives us the ability to accomplish the things he wants us to accomplish. But it is in times of stress or times of tribulation or difficulty that God will send you an angel if you have been praying about the situation. There was a time when we were building, and I've shared this with the church before, but I'll share it again. There was a time when we were building a conference center at the camp. God had sent a man to pay for it. And he was paying for it. He said, whatever you need, you just call me and I'll send you more money. Now, he wasn't an angel, but God used him. And I and the worker we had at camp every day began our ministry and our project with prayer. And we were doing something that neither one of us knew anything about. We were building up a site for a large building, 15,000 square feet. And I would go dig sand, and he would drive the dump truck and dump it, and then he would drive over it with the dump truck and pack it. And every day we'd say, boy, I hope we're doing this right. I hope this is the way things are supposed to be done. And we got it all done. We got it built up. We built it up 5 feet, about that far off the floor, because that's what the site had to be. And we had stopped, and we were talking to each other, and I said, well, I think we've got it. And Paul, I think we've done it all we know to do. And about that time, a car pulled off the highway. It did not use the driveway. It drove through the ditch, up the bank, to the center of the site where we were standing. And a guy got out of the car and he said, what are you guys doing here? And we told him we were getting ready to build a conference center, a place where the kids can meet and eat. And he said, you're going about this all wrong. He says, your building's going to fall all to pieces because you're not using a sheep's foot to compact the dirt. It has to be compacted to optimum density. It's going to need water. You're going to need a tanker. You're going to need the sheep's foot. And you're going to have to start all over again. You're going to have to put all this dirt off. And we're talking probably more than 100 truckloads of sand. And he got back in his car. He drove back down the bank, through the ditch, and back out onto the highway. And we never saw him again. Now, what is an angel? It's a messenger of God. And God couldn't get our attention, evidently. But he did that, and so we did. We pulled all the dirt off, started all over again, got a sheep's foot, and compacted it, built a tanker, and did that. God uses angels in your lives, folks. He does. And you're not freaking out because you think that you've seen an angel or God has used an angel to direct your life. He uses angels. I want you to note that God uses angels to deliver his messages to one of God's believers. And then God also uses his Holy Spirit to direct them as to what to do for God. We haven't even begun to finish a study of angels tonight. But I want you to think about the fact that somewhere along the way, God may have used an angel in your life. They're not there for decoration. They're there for purpose. And God wants to use them in your life. We're going to resume our study of angels next week. We're early tonight, so we can fellowship for a minute or two, and when we're done here. But Paul had a lot to say about angels in this first chapter of Hebrews, how God has used them. He used them in his life. He has used them in your life, and you just may not realize it. So let's close with a word of prayer, and then Linda will come and lead us in our closing song. Father, we do thank you and love you because you love us so well. And Father, you have beings with you in heaven that you use to communicate, to accomplish various physical feats. And we are grateful, Father, for the way that you use what we call angels. We thank you for the way you've used them in the lives of the people that you have recorded in your word, Old and New Testament. And Father, we would ask that you would help us to look for your help in everything we do. Father, use each one of us. Use us to be witnesses for you. Use us to accomplish the things you want accomplished. We thank you that for the blessing box out there and for the way it's being used and for the products that are going through that and for the Bibles that are being taken. Thank you, Father. May your will be done here in this ministry. Thank you for each one that you have brought to be a part of this ministry. And may we serve you according to your perfect will. And we will praise you for all the things that you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.